Well, we're back on the porch, and you know, this is the final week that we're going to do on how images can really enhance your spiritual transformation. And this week we're dealing with a beautiful, beautiful image. I encourage you to go look at Rublev's Trinity, which he did in the 15th century, and see the depth of the beauty that exists in this painting. And so we're going to start off, and Bev's going to read a section of John of the Cross's description of the relationship that is going on in the Trinity.
You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are simply amazed at each other. Joy, beauty, wonder, love, and excitement fill their relationship. The highest levels of intimacy and communication exist. There is a kind of rhapsody in the Father's admission of his love for the Son. Nothing gives me joy, Son, outside of your company. They are lover and beloved who live in each other. They are absolutely poor because they give to each other so completely. And so each is rich with the other's generosity. In creating mankind, it was the desire of the Father and the Son that the bride of creation might come to relish the beauty of the Father and come to experience the love of the Son. Creation was to be the fruit of the excesses of their generosity.
It's just unbelievable, the picture that he paints. The relationship, and the fruit of the relationship is joy and beauty and wonder and love and excitement. That's what fills the relationship they have with each other. Mm-hmm. And the act of total generosity. They are each, or could be, totally poor because they give everything they have to each other. But in the fact that they all receive from each other, they have a fullness, you know, of everything they need. And so the Father gives everything he has to the Son to the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Son gives everything he has to the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives everything he has to the Father and Son. So in one sense, they're totally poor. In the final sense, they're totally rich because of the generosity of each other.
So tell me about when you look at that painting, what do you connect with in that?
Well, I think a lot of people are going to stumble over the painting.
It's a hard painting.
When you first look at it, you see these pictures of it almost looks like the three people that are in this painting are all women. So a lot of people are going to look at it and say, well, he's trying to promote that, you know, God is a woman. But more to do with the style of the day than it has to do with him trying to say that this is a woman. And so that's one piece of the puzzle. The other piece of the puzzle, when you look at the painting, is you would assume that the Father is at the center of the Trinity. In reality, as you look at the painting, the Father is on the left, the Son is in the middle, and the Spirit is on the right. And so it is telling us one of the great pieces of us we need to understand about the kingdom of God is the greatest are not necessarily in places of power. The greatest are in places of servanthood. And so the greatness of the Trinity, and even in this description, it says it, is their servanthood and their desire for the best for the other person.
Can you talk about, from that painting, the relationship with, I think all of us know about the relationship with God and the Son, but can you talk about God and Spirit, that part of it?
Yeah. That's pretty hard. But I think what we have to realize, you know, one of the hardest things I ever did in my life was I read 300 pages on how they developed the Trinity when I was at Wheaton. In my theology class, this is the most complicated, intricate stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, on the surface, they did tremendous over 300 years it took them to really establish the relationship. And again, we got to remember, it's a minor statement on who God truly is. But I think you know, what we have to realize, which is beyond our comprehension, is the Trinity is one, but it's distinct. So the Holy Spirit is really a distinct person, the Father is a distinct person, and the Son is a distinct person. But what we can't grasp is that their distinct individual persons that they have actually make up the Trinity. So there isn't like, you know.
See, in my mind, when I think about this, there's a hierarchy. It's the Father, the Son, and then the Spirit's kind of like third ring. But this painting is not.
Well, think how radical it was for him to put the Father to the side, not at the center. That's pretty radical in the 15th century.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, we do think hierarchy. We think Father sits at the top and then everything flows out of him. But there is a completeness there. And again, in the kingdom, servanthood is the highest place. Not, you know, where we tend to think that the servants are the lowest place.
Mm-hmm. So what, when you're meditating and you're looking at this, what, this is a hard painting for me. I don't connect to it like you do. And it's interesting. I connected to the Trinity through the shack.
Right.
And I really got the Spirit because it was so visual for me. But when I look at this, that it doesn't resonate with me for that. So how does this help form your...
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that to me is very important part of this painting is that you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but there is an opening for another person to enter into that relationship. And if you look at the shack, I think Paul Young was picking up off of this book, but there is one picture in the shack in the movie where in actuality, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are set up in the same way that they're set up in this painting. Very interesting when I saw that. And but here's, you know, the big thing is they're in a perfect relationship. They need nothing else. They don't need to be in a relationship with man. You know, so that's a very important theological point. God did not create man out of need. He created man out of joy and desire. And the desire was that we would enter into that empty space that existed between the Trinity. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are sitting in a triangle, but at the bottom of that triangle is basically where they've invited man to be part of that experience, which is a beautiful picture, is it? And this is why Richard Rohr in his new book, The Divine Dance, says this may be the most significant and most important book that I've ever written. Because now we're beginning to look at the Trinity not as a mathematical equation, but we're beginning to look at the essence of the Trinity's relationship, and the essence of creation of man is for man to enter into that relationship. So for me, when I look at that, it's very complicated, and I agree with you. It takes a while to get used to this painting. But that opening that exists, first of all, is the beginning, you know, of really understanding what he's saying. And then, you know, I have a painting that, you know, is very close to the original. The colors in it are so spectacular. And, you know, just the colors that surround the Trinity. And they're different color of their robes. It's just amazing. Colors, yeah.
So. I mean, I like what you're talking about because to me, that space is, when I look at that picture, it's a little bit more two-dimensional. But when you enter that component into it about talking about the space and having that room for the flow and the invitation and the participation, that's a completely different. I'm actually really... like that.
And here's the other scary piece of it. If you look at it very closely, at the space where man is supposed to be positioned in relationship to the Trinity, there's a mirror that exists. Wow. And now some paintings have removed the mirror, but the idea is, you know, it's the real self encountering the real God. So as you walk to it, you begin seeing an image of yourself.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And so, you know, the whole transformation is as you enter into the relationship with the Trinity, you begin to have a great vision of who he created man to be, and you also have this vision of how you fall short of that. But not to condemn, there is an invitation of love and unconditional love and total forgiveness. But there is the reality that, you know, God's not satisfied with us, you know, being less than he created us to be. So for us to be able to see ourselves, it's like in Psalm, search me and know me, O God, so that we can become transformed and released from the prison that we put ourselves into in this life. So we were invited to be part of the Trinity. We rejected that, and that rejection created all kind of, you know, complications, suffering in our life. And so coming to the Trinity, there is this whole idea of redemption.
But I really, really like that idea of the space. Yeah. That's a completely different, it's just very, very attractive to be invited. And that there's space within that for my participation.
Yeah. And see, what you're saying, see, space, somebody asked me this week, they said, what do you think spiritual transformation is? Or how do you go about getting to spiritual transformation? By creating space, right?
Yeah.
So prayer is about you creating space to commune with God. You know, everything you do, reading the scriptures, is creating space. Using these images, you're creating space for God to enter into your life, right?
Right. Beautiful.
So we want to end with, you know, one of the things we have to realize in the history of the church, the real history of the church, which started, you know, right after Jesus died, and as it began to evolve and went through the first century all the way up to where we are presently today, there's some beautiful pictures and great, great views of who God is and who man can become. And one of them is this prayer that Jeff's going to read called the Trinity Prayer.
God for us, we call you Father. God alongside us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. You are the eternal mystery that enables, enfolds, and enlivens all things, even us and even me. Every name falls short of your goodness and greatness. We can only see who you are in what is. We ask for such perfect seeing, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. To learn more about The Meadow, go to www.meadow4.org. We're continuing with our summer series, The Podcast on the Porch, where we talk about various ways to deepen your spiritual life and grow in your faith. Follow us on Facebook and Podbean to hear more, and be sure to keep an eye out for upcoming events like our Spiritual Development Forum, which will be happening in the fall of 2017.